Standing on the promises of Christ our King, through eternal ages that his praise is fame. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. And we do give everyone a very warm welcome into their service tonight. And we're gathered in the name of the Lord. You know, I was thinking today, you know, some people think that it's heaven here on earth, but it's not heaven here on earth. And I was thinking, you know, we can look out and see God's creation and it is beautiful, but have you ever seen a beautiful rose? But yet with all that beautiful rose, it'll prick you. It'll draw blood on you. And the reason for that is because of the fall. What happened in Genesis when man disobeyed God. And God cursed the ground. And after that, thorns and thistles, the Bible says, will the earth bring forth because man disobeyed God. And Jesus Christ came to the cross of Calvary to break the curse that was over man and to save man and to bring him back to God, and not only to bring him back to God, but to take him to the place called heaven. And I want to speak tonight about the second coming of the Lord, and I've loads of scriptures, and I want really the Bible to do the talking tonight. We're going to read from Luke 17, verse 22, the promise of his coming. Luke chapter 17, verse 22, and I'm deliberately reading these scriptures tonight. I'm going to try and take my time, and I won't try and hold you so too long. We have some people still away on holidays, Samuel and the family, and also want to remember Brother Ian in prayer. He broke a bone in his arm. Pray for Brother Ian. It's good to see your Brother Larry here tonight. Praise God. And there's so many things that have been happening with people in the fellowship. Incidents, accidents, the devil's against God's people. But thank God that Jesus is on our side. Amen. And we can call on the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, and he'll answer us and hear us. Let's read verse 22 of Luke chapter 17. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of heaven, under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now if you go down to verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his staff in his house, his stuff in his house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, whithersoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Let us just bow for a moment this evening. If you have a request, with every head closed, every eye bowed, just lift your hand to the Lord. And there's lots of people tonight we want to pray for. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the name that is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the merits of thy precious shed blood over this house and all that's in it tonight. We would ask that you'll bind every work of the devil and spoil his goods in every life and home in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you for every hand that's raised, you know every need. Father, answer that request in Jesus' precious name. We think of so many people this evening suffering with cancer. We ask for thy mighty touch. We pray for the young man that was paralyzed for the mighty touch of God and the salvation of God to come upon him. Lord, we ask, Lord, for Sister Sheila also, that thou would continue to heal her and raise her up to full strength in Jesus' precious name. We pray for Brother Ian for a complete healing in his arm in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you for Brother Jordy and his wife, that you'll bless them in this break and just be with them. And for Sonia, that you'll heal her and these discs in her back. And every problem she has, heal her, Lord, and deliver her from it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for those that's downcast tonight. Uplift them and cause joy to come over their countenance in the name of the Lord. I'm asking you to help me tonight. I take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, there's a second coming of the Lord. And a lot of preachers never preach on the second coming of the Lord. And there's a blood of Jesus Christ. And sadly, a lot of preachers never preach on the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul warned us that there were signs what would happen in the last days, and one of them would be scoffers. That there would be scoffers in the last days that would scoff and mock about the Lord's coming. And many preachers say today that they don't need or never have preached on the second coming of Christ, and they don't expect to preach on it ever. But tonight I'm going to talk about the second coming of Christ, and I'm going to prove you from the Bible this evening that if you don't preach on the second coming of Jesus Christ, that you're leaving out an awful part of the Bible. Because an awful part of the Bible speaks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that they've never spoken in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus himself promised in verse 1 of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ himself promised that he personally will come again for us. And not only did he promise that he would come again for us, but he promised that while he's away, he's preparing a beautiful place called heaven. So beautiful that the word of God says, I have not seen, nor ear have not heard, the things which God has prepared for them that love him, who are the called according to his promise. The heaven is such a wonderful place. 6 days the Lord made this whole world, and he rested on the seventh, and he's been gone 2,000 years to make a place called heaven. And he's coming again to receive his people. That also must mean that they never preach from Matthew 24, and they never preach from Matthew 25, and they never preach on the coming of the Lord. Matthew 24, Jesus tells us of a day of great tribulation coming. And he warns us that there's a time coming, and the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. He tells us there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and still the end's not yet. Jesus tells us that there'll be false Christs and false prophets. Now you know Christ means anointed one. And there's people going about today, and they can do great wonderful things, they claim to, and all they preach is about money. That's your modern American evangelist today. The modern American evangelist believes if you're not driving a jumbo jet or some big fancy machine, that you're backslidden. But I would remind that modern evangelist of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. How hardly is it for a rich man to enter heaven? And it says it's as hard for a rich man to enter heaven as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And that refers to the gate in Jerusalem that's only open broad enough to let a man slip through. And he can't get through unless he unloads all his burdens and all his rough packs, and he slips through when he's thin. But the rough pack on his back won't go through, and God wants everyone to strip down of their sin, lay it down at the feet of Calvary, and come through the gate. And Christ is the gate. If he doesn't preach the second coming, he leaves out Matthew 24. And Jesus warns him of people been deceived and saying, Christ will come, and they'll say, he's coming to a certain particular place. I knew of a preacher in Africa, and he told the people he knew when the Lord was coming. And they had to sell all they had and give it to him. Well, if the Lord was coming, what did he need the money for? Was he staying and not going? When a man tells you he knows the day and the date when Jesus comes, you can take a sign and write on it, false prophet, and hold it up over him, for that's what he is. For my Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour wherein the Lord will come. Only the Father knows when Jesus will come again. But he's coming. Matthew 24 warns us of these things. That we're not to go out in the desert or in the secret chamber, believe it not. Then Matthew 25 tells us, in Matthew 25, of the foolish virgins. Also in 24, it tells us of the second, of two will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two will be in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left. When the Lord comes, the people that are even the young, the one that's believing and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost is going to go, and the one unsaved is left in the bed. Now that's a striking thing tonight, but that's the Bible. That's the truth. I tell you, we must be saved. And we need to pray for our loved ones to be saved. And no matter how much you love them and how much you care for them, when Jesus comes, you're going to go. And if they're not saved, they're staying. You can never go to heaven without Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. He says, I am the door to the sheepfold. By me, ye may enter in and be saved. Matthew 25, they must never preach it. And Matthew 25 tells us the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And how people are so foolish today. So foolish, they've no concern for their soul. They've no concern for the things of their soul. And they think the Bible's just a story, and they live on in sin, and God's given people over in these days to the reprobate mind. Paul talks about it in Romans, to work preacher doesn't believe. Preaching in the second coming, he leaves himself a very little Bible to preach from. This means they've never preached on the statement of those two celestial visitors at the time of Jesus' ascension. A brother prayed it and confirmed this message tonight, even when he prayed from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 11. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you've seen go up shall come, and like manner as he went, Jesus Christ is coming the way he went. He went up in a cloud, and he's coming in the cloud. That's the angels of the Lord. And he's coming again for us. And no matter where you are, who's with you, or even a loved one that's in the grave, if they're really born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, the graves will open and the Lord's going to pick them and they're going to go. You say they're not already in heaven, their soul is, but their body's laying there. But God's going to change that body that's in the dust and they're going to get a glorified body. That's the word of God. This mortal shall put on immortality. Their soul's in heaven now. If they're born again. Jesus is coming again. That means they've never preached. And all is found as the great 15th chapter of the first book of Corinthians. That the resurrection chapter, where we have the statement, Christ being the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. And Corinthians tells us that Jesus died on the cross, but God on the third day raised Jesus from the dead, and he's the first fruits of the resurrection. Your first fruits is to show there's more fruits to come. And Jesus is coming again for his people. And no matter where your grave is, where you're living or dead, the Lord's taking you. You're going. And you'll have no choice in it. That's the other thing I want you to know tonight. You're going to be taken. You're not going. People say, I'm going to go. You're going nowhere. But the Lord's taking you. What do you think of that? You'll never fly away. I know we sing the song, I will fly away. You're flying nowhere. You'll not need to. The Lord will take you. How do I know that? Because the book of Hebrews in 11th chapter tells me Enoch walked by faith and he was not, for the Lord took him. And he was no more. He was gone to be with the Lord. The Lord took him. And you remember this also, seven in the Bible. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And we're living in the seventh church age. This is the Laodicean church age. Laodicea means people's rights. I will do what I want. That's the attitude of people today. Even children in school, I'll do my own thing. If you touch me, I'll tell the government, I'll tell the teacher, I'll tell this, tell that. When I was a wee lad, you got your ears clipped. And you told nobody, you got them clipped again. And I'm still here. And I'm all right, aren't I? Never done me no harm. The Bible says a rod's for the back of a fool. Spare the rod and spoil the child, but you're not allowed to do it no more. We have a bunch of spoiled brats. That's the truth. I know it's tough talking, but it's true anyhow. Computer kids. All they know is computers. And we have a generation of educated fanatics. And everybody's going to college and everybody's learning. And most of them sitting at home when they're not working. Nobody wants to be a joiner. Nobody wants to be a bricklayer. Nobody wants to be an electrician. Nobody wants to be a plumber. And the trades, nobody's filling the trades no more. Because you know why? You have to do a thing called work. And nobody wants to work. They want to sit down all day at a table. Look into the screen. And they don't want to work. But I've news for you. God's way is work. Because God said man will work. And with the sweat of his brow, he'll bring forth. Is that the word of God? Paul, even the great preacher, worked and made tents, and yet he was a great apostle. But he wasn't afraid to work. Thank God when you've strength to work. This 15th chapter speaks of the resurrection. This 15th chapter of Corinthians. That means, friends, they have never preached on the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. For in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul comforts the Thessalonians with these words. And I love these words from verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They're not going. He's bringing them. I want you to get that. Will the Lord bring with him? Is that what it says in your Bible? Amen. Verse 15. For if we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming to get you. That's really the truth. The Lord's coming for you. If you're saved, the Lord's coming for you, brother. The Lord's coming for you, sister. Jesus is coming again. This is a promise of this book. And this is what we're to preach tonight. That also means that they never preached in the passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews. For they were admonished in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. All these wars is a sign the Lord's coming. There'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars, and still the end's not yet. There'll be famines, earthquakes in diverse places, and still the end's not yet. But look up, your attention draws nigh. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming for a people that's ready. You know, that also means they never preached on the blessed passage from Scripture in 1 Peter, where he says, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto the lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in these last times. Jesus is coming for you. Coming for you. You know, you don't keep yourself. If you've been serving the Lord 30 years and you think you've kept yourself, you're kidding yourself. You can never keep yourself. The Lord keeps you. That's why the Bible learns you how to pray. The Bible tells you if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he will direct your path. The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For there's evil on every side, and we need God's help every day. Can you amen that tonight? Not the truth? I tell you, it's the Lord that keeps us and helps us. That means they never preached on the marvelous passage in 1 John, which says in 1 John 3 verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You're going to be changed. The Lord is going to change you and me. The Bible says this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. You know, I love the book of Romans, you know that. And the book of Romans tells us, as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. We're going to be changed. You're not going to heaven the way you are. You're going to be changed in heaven. Amen? You see, you know, when some people preach that angels come down, press themselves into human flesh, they came from heaven, and they slept with the daughters of men, and they produced people. But the Lord Jesus himself contradicts that. Did you know that? Because they asked Jesus a question to trick him. And they said, now Lord, here's a fellow, and he has a wife, and he dies, and his brother marries this woman, and he dies, and his brother marries her, and this goes on seven times. So the woman has now seven husbands. She's been widowed all these times, and she keeps marrying the brother. Whose wife shall she be in heaven? And the Lord said, you will be as the angel. But you see, people preach things that's not in the Word of God because somebody told them it. But you better check it out with the Bible first. It's the authority. Amen? We're going to be as the angels, brother. Amen? You won't have a desire like you have now. You'll know one another. Sure you will. But you'll not be like you are here now. You won't have them desires. Because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. You're going to be in a glorified body when you get to heaven. Amen? A glorified body. No gray hairs. No bald ones either. And I'm getting them all back. I don't know where they are, but they're somewhere. He says the hairs of your head's numbered. But I'm missing a brave lot. But I don't know where they are. They're somewhere. Amen. Praise God. The Lord's getting them. He's got them somewhere. Amen. That means also I've never preached in 2 Thessalonians because every chapter opens about the coming of the Lord and it closes with the coming of the Lord. All through 2 Thessalonians, it opens with a statement, the coming of the Lord. It closes with a statement, the coming of the Lord. And they must never preach it. They must never preach in 2 Peter where he says in chapter 1 verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You see, if you're going to say you're an apostolic believer, then you have to preach what the apostolics preached. And they preached the coming of the Lord. They preached the power of the blood. They preached the power of the Holy Ghost. They preached miracles, signs and wonders and salvation. And they preached this same Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And we're going to be changed. That means they've never preached from the book of James, where it said in James 5, 7 to 9, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and of long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." They must never preach that if they don't preach the coming of the Lord. That means they never preach from the book of Jude. Jude 1 verse 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Enoch even prophesied of the coming of the Lord. Now I believe, you know, after we go to be with the Lord and we spend the honeymoon time, we're going to come back with him. And we're going to stand on the Mount of Olives and just split in two. And we'll be able to travel right up into Jerusalem. I believe that tonight. And the Lord's coming with 10,000 of his saints. There you are. But it's still the coming of the Lord. Amen. The Lord's still coming. Now there's a rapture. And then after the rapture, there's another coming. The Lord comes in the rapture and he takes his people home. That's the catching away. But then he comes again with his bride, king and queen. And he stands on the Mount of Olives. And we're going to live and reign with this Christ on earth for 1,000 years. There's lots to happen. There's a millennial reign still to happen. There's Armageddon. There's Gog and Magog. There's a sealing of the 144,000 Jews. Moses and Elijah going over there and preaching to them. There's a lot of things to happen. And we're going to be gone. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. The Lord's coming for his church, his true bride. He's coming to get you. Amen. That also means they've never preached from the book of Revelations. Now listen to this evening. Revelations 1 verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds." That means the angels. That's the clouds. "And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." That means they've never preached on the last promise in the Bible. Do you know the last promise in the Bible? Write this down this evening. The last promise in the Bible. Do you know what it is? Revelations 22 verse 20. "He which testifieth these things, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come Lord Jesus." Jesus' last promise is he's coming again. That's the last promise in the Bible. Do you know the last prayer in the Bible? The last promise is Jesus, Revelations 20:22. And then also we have the last prayer. They've never preached a doubt on the last prayer either. It's from the same verse. "I come quickly, amen." The last prayer. So the last prayer is he's coming. And God will do whatever he says in his word he's going to do. And he says he's coming, and he's coming. He's coming again. When Paul wanted to urge a young preacher to be a true man of God, he said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. So if you're going to preach the word, you need to preach the second coming. Because the second coming's part of the word of God. Do you believe that tonight? Jesus preached it. Paul preached it. Peter preached it. All the apostles preached it. And we need to preach it. I'm almost finished. You're listening well. That means also I've never preached the marvelous passage in Scripture from Titus. Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious appearing, Jesus is coming again, and it's glorious. Glorious, the Bible calls it. Won't it be glory, oh glory for me? How many's ever heard that old song? I tell you, we're going to see him. We're going to see him. Hallelujah. How much of the Bible does any preachers leave out of the ministry when they don't preach on the second coming of the Lord? I tell you, they're leaving a lot out when they don't preach the second coming of the Lord. This New Testament's clear that the Lord Jesus preaches the second coming, that the Lord Jesus promises the second coming. The last prayer and the last promise is, I'm coming again. I believe the Lord tonight. That means they've never ever preached on the fourfold character of Christ's works as prophet, priest, and king. They must never have preached it. He came and was a prophet amongst us. Jesus was a prophet. For the Bible says no man could do these things except God with him. Truly, he's a prophet. He was a prophet. Do you know that? That Jesus was the real prophet. How many believe that tonight? He was absolutely. He is now our high priest in heaven. A high priest. We don't go down the road to the priest. We have one high priest in heaven who's conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's also coming back to be our king. So he's prophet, and he's priest, and he's king. Because he's coming back to be our king and reign upon the earth. That is the promise of his coming. How precious is it? It makes us want to, you know, shout and praise the Lord, doesn't it? King Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Look what John said, and this is my last scripture. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Brother and sister, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. The Lord could come before school starts back. The school's starting back in September. We're near school starting back. But the Lord could come before it. Do you realize that this evening? The Lord could come before you start to work tomorrow morning if you're still living. The Lord could come. He's coming again. There's nothing more he needs to do. There's nothing more he needs to say. He's promised in the last book of the Bible, I'm coming. He's prayed, come quickly. And the question needs to be asked this evening, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? Are you ready? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit and ready for the coming of the Lord? Is your lamp trimmed and burning? And are you ready for Jesus' soon return? Let us stand while we close tonight with a word of prayer. And God bless those that's here, and God bless those that's tuned in tonight. And I want to remember also to pray for our dear brother David Bailey. not feeling too well, he went out for a walk, and I just remembered it there. May the Lord bless you, brother, for watching in this evening. From Germany, may the Lord touch you. And any others watching in, may the Lord bless you tonight. Let us bow our heads this evening. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that, but I'm going to put it, tell you, are you saved? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? The Bible says that it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, all you have to do this evening, while the voice of the preacher silent is, call on the name of the Lord. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins and wash you in His precious blood and receive Him and accept Him and you'll be saved. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you tonight that you are coming again. And your word is full of precious promises to say you're coming again. And we would say with John in Revelations, even so, come Lord Jesus. We would pray, Lord, that ere you come, that you'll save our children, save our loved ones, save all that's near and dear to us. Cover them with your precious blood. Save the son, save the daughter, save the aunt, the uncle, the husband, the wife. In Jesus' precious name. Bless your people now, we pray. Pray for Brother David Bailey, Lord, listening in tonight, or Joseph Bailey. Lord, I ask you to touch him. And may all this pain and whatever's wrong go out of him and from him. In the name of Jesus Christ. You sent your word and healed them. For any others listening in that need your touch, give them the miracle touch they need in Jesus' precious name. Encourage everyone tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as Brother Mark comes, and we'll be here again on Thursday night, 7:30. I had to think for a moment. Thursday night, 7:30. The Lord bless each one.